Hello, it's Beth Ferrister, and welcome to my podcast, The Art of Real Estate. This podcast will dive into my everyday life. After 40 years in this industry, I've been introduced to so many different people, places, and new adventures. Follow along to hear the stories, learn a few things, and have a good laugh in these short episodes with me and my friends. Beth Ferrister with my podcast, and I'm here today with my good friend Greg Brenneman for how many years?
Hey Beth, I don't even think about years.
I don't either. Let's not think about years.
I think we're like aging backwards.
That's right. That's for sure. The two of us, we can't stop, can we? But we're here today because you're at last minute preparations for the opening of this great Italian restaurant right here in East Shore. What's the name of it?
Yeah, we're excited about it. The name is Portovino, which is portable wine in Italian.
Ah.
And you can kind of think of it as a half wine store, half restaurant.
Wow.
So we actually have lots of great wine at really fantastic prices. And so a lot of people will come and have dinner, and the food is fantastic. But we'll take wine home with them as well.
Yeah. That's great. No, I saw your wine list, and it's a great prices.
Yeah.
I mean, you're basically a touch above wholesale prices.
Yeah, really, so. we're lower than specs and lower than total wine. So I think probably the cheapest you can get, certainly in the Woodlands, probably in Houston.
Yeah. Well, you've had quite a career. Obviously, I think everybody knows you've written a book that is so you. The name of the book is, from all I've known from you over these years, is so you. It's right away and all at once.
Yeah.
You wrote that book how many years ago?
Just about 5 years ago. Yeah.
But that's you, right away and all at once.
And the book is kind of fun. It's half business, so every other chapter is business and then life. So the five steps to transform your business and enrich your life. And it's a nice tie-in. It's been a lot of fun. So I've had a chance to share it with a lot of people and speak a lot. So it's been fun.
It's a great book. It's a great book. And so, and then your current, I mean, you have a lot of positions, but your current position, your company is called Turnworks.
Yeah, my company is called Turnworks. So that's my family office. So that's kind of what Portovino is part of that.
Yes.
I'm also executive chairman of a private equity firm, a large private equity firm called CCMP Capital. And then I serve on a few boards. I'm on the Home Depot board and Baker Hughes board and the Baylor College of Medicine board. So I enjoy
that as well. So you manage to keep busy?
Yeah. Kind of, you know, they say there's no biblical concept of retirement.
I love that.
Might as well keep going.
That's true. That's true. Well, at one time, you were the CEO of Continental Airlines.
Yeah, the president. Of Continental, and this restaurant kind of came from that in many ways.
Yeah.
And so at Continental, when we took over, it was the 10th place airline. It was 10th out of 10 in on-time performance, 10th out of 10 in baggage handling, 10th out of 10 in customer complaints, had 10 presidents in 10 years and went bankrupt twice in 10 years.
Right.
A very public disaster.
It was a disaster.
Very blessed with a great team. We were able to turn it around and turn it into a really great airline. And ended up winning the J.D. Power Award 6 years in a row as the best airline in America. We were number 18 on the 100 best places to work. The stock went up 20 times from $6 a share to $120 a share. So it was a lot of fun. But part of that was actually fixing the food on the airline. The food was terrible. In fact, it was so bad, one of our directors actually, when first week I was there, took one of the meals and put it in a FedEx package and sent it to me and said, you got to fix this, right? Right off the airline, right into a FedEx package, right off the airplane. And so we actually, to fix the domestic piece of the business, we started serving soups and salads and sandwiches and stuff you'd normally eat at mealtimes. But for the international piece, we wanted to do something special for international business first service. So we actually invited the best chef and restaurateur of every hub city. So Houston, Cleveland, New York, and Hawaii. We had Roy Yamaguchi from Hawaii who created Roy's.
Right.
Well, in Houston, that person was Bill Floyd. And Bill has created 38 restaurants in Houston. Reef, many of people will know, is one of the best seafood places. Probably the best Italian places. Patente, which is downtown on Texas Street.
Mm-hmm.
And he's just a natural at this. But I was always kidding him in the 90s. Why don't you do something you can do more than one of? That you can, you know, we could do a few of, or you could do a few of. So he called me last April, and he said, Greg, I finally did what you asked me to do. And I said, what was that? That was the 1990s. I'd forgotten all about it.
Yeah.
And he said, well, come down and see. So we went down, and we had this most wonderful meal with the dishes actually conceived by the chef at Patente.
Oh, really?
Danny Trace. Yeah, he came up with the entire menu. And Bill wanted to create a place that he could retire in and hang out with his buddies and drink wine. So he loves wine. And so he thought of everything he liked about restaurants and everything he didn't like. And he loves great food, but he wanted a simple Italian menu. And so we have fantastic food, but it's lighter. You can eat, you know, in many different ways and all that. But then he also liked to bring his own wine to restaurants, and nobody would let you bring it. So he said, I'm going to have a corkage fee, and I'm going to charge $12 for the first bottle, $11 for the second bottle. So as he opened, a lot of people started bringing their own wine. But he said, I'm going to create a wine list, and instead of marking it up 300% like most restaurants, I'm going to actually undersell specs and total wine. I'm going to only mark it up a little bit and actually give people a good deal.
Wow.
And so now most of the people are actually not only ordering off his wine list, but also taking cases home with them for their own. And so it kind of created that. And he said, I'm only going to be open in the evenings. Because wait staff and employees hate split shifts where you have to run a lunch and you have to run an evening. So it's only open in the evenings, 5 to 9 during the week and 5 to 10 on the weekends. And just kind of a really enjoyable place to be. And he opened 11 days before COVID down on 7800 Washington. Had to shut it down. Reopened, and you can hardly get a seat in there now. I mean, the reservations are backed up. Both because of the food and the wine and just the ambiance. And the thing that really made it ultimately interesting is he has a massive deck outside where you can see lots of parking and a massive deck where you can sit outside and eat. And of course, during COVID, that became a big deal, but people love dining outside. So we decided to replicate that here. So we have a really nice space inside. It looks like kind of a Napa wine warehouse.
It does.
And then outside, we have put up these massive space heaters that blast heat like you can't imagine. And we have ceiling fans. We're going to have swamp coolers in the summer.
Oh, my gosh.
So we have a big deck, you know, that'll be lit up at night and really create, hopefully, a great place, kind of like Cheers, you know, the show Cheers.
Yes.
For the community to kind of hang out in and enjoy.
Oh, it's a great.
Yeah.
Well, I live here in East Shore, so we're very grateful that you're here because we can walk up here to the restaurant.
Yeah,
so
you can walk, have a few drinks, and you don't have to worry about getting home.
And stumble home.
Exactly.
But at least we're walking, right? So anyway. This looks like a great place, and I know you're having several events here over this weekend to kind of open up. When are you going to be open for?
Yeah, March 1 is our first night, which
Tuesday.
Is next Tuesday. Yeah, so it's coming up. We're finishing up today. You can probably hear in the background there's a little noise going on.
We got all
the touch-up going on for this, and supply chain has been an interesting battle. So we have some great artwork of vineyards that we've been to and places, vineyards that we actually serve the wine and coffee from Honduras, which we sponsor, that are coming, but they're actually stuck in an ice storm in Dallas. So they'll probably go up next week. So we'll be for a week or two. We'll be kind of working our way into this place, but we're going to open on March 1 and we'll open to some pretty limited seating. So hopefully people won't get too frustrated as I want the ops to be great before.
Right.
Yeah, that's one thing I learned in the airline business. If you run on time, if you get people to their destination on time with their underwear, serve them good food when they're hungry, and show them movies when they're bored, it works pretty well. So we're going to make sure we can do that as we open. So we'll be able to ramp pretty quickly, but we're gonna make sure the service is good before we ramp too fast.
Well, everything else you've done, I mean, has been successful. You've had other... You're kind of like me, and you've advised me over the years, and I think one thing you would say is don't ever open a restaurant, and now here you are opening a restaurant, but what kind of made you want to go into the restaurant business?
Well, I ran Burger King, so I've got a little bit of experience in it, but...
A little different, but yeah.
A little different, yeah, but...
And Quiznos.
And yeah, Quiznos as well.
So you've had food.
Yeah, I've had a little experience, but not like this. So I'm learning what it's like to be a small business person, and... I got to tell you, I so appreciate what they have to go through every day. It's incredible to kind of fight your way through it. But it was more of just a passion than it was a business decision on this point. So we did this to have some fun and involve the family and just have a place for the community. I thought it'd be a nice way in some ways to give back. So
it is giving back, I tell you. But anything you're involved in, I mean, I've been by here several times in the past couple of weeks, and I'm thinking this is never going to open on time. But then I thought
there's Greg. And I drove by the other day, and you were sitting out here. You haven't left this place, I don't think, since you have you since it's gotten started, so that you can get it open on time?
Yeah, we're working pretty hard to get it open on time. I was actually in Atlanta at a Home Depot board meeting. I'm the lead director there, so I was there yesterday. But I've got a great team. We've hired a great team of people here that's been doing this. And, you know, I was told by the folks that do this stuff, there's never been a restaurant open on time.
That's
and
true.
I said, I've never done anything that hasn't happened on time. So one of those is going to be proven incorrect. And we're going to get it open on time. So we've worked hard to do that.
Are you taking reservations for right away or what?
We're going to open reservations on Sunday.
Oh, not till Sunday.
So on Sunday, yes, for Tuesday. So I tell you a funny little story. Open Table actually made a mistake last week, and they opened up the reservations early, right? I mean, we didn't sign off on that. They just did it, right? And in 1 hour, I think we had, actually in like 36 minutes, we had 168 reservations.
Oh, my gosh.
And we weren't even open. And so I'm a little worried about opening the reservation pipeline too early.
No kidding.
And we have some friends and family coming, you know, this weekend, including yourself and some folks from East Shore and other places, coming 3 nights in a row, right? So so what we wanted to do is actually be able to forewarn everybody that, you know, are close to us that we're opening this up so that they didn't get disappointed by not being able to get a reservation. So on Sunday, we'll turn Open Table on and turn the reservations on our website, and we'll be able to see what happens. So.
Well, it's really a nice, simple place that serves good food, I know, and I looked at the menu. They're very reasonably priced, so families can come and enjoy
dinner. Yeah, it's a great family place to kind of hang out, and there's no menu item over $30, so $29 is the highest price, and you'll be shocked at how good the food is. Danny is just a fantastic chef, and he conceived the whole thing to be able to do that. And I think people will really, really enjoy it. I know there's a lot of variety, so it's a kind of place I've been many times now, obviously. But it's the kind of place you can order, you could be a couple times a week because you can order something different.
Well,
you can eat light, you can eat a full meal, whatever you want. So.
Oh, good. And what about desserts? What do you think your favorite dessert will be here? I love desserts.
There's great desserts here. Uh-huh. So a normal restaurant would be about 6% dessert, right? Uh-huh. In terms of you know, of the entrees that get ordered as a dessert. This one's 40%.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, and so folks like the dessert. The favorite dessert, the best sellers, coconut cream pie. So that's good, but there's a great tiramisu. The second best seller is this molten brownie with bluebell ice cream. And then they have this product that Bill created in all of his restaurants. If you've ever been to a Bill Floyd restaurant, it's called Milkshake No Miners, basically. And what it is a milkshake with a little Kahlua in it, bluebell ice cream with a little Kahlua in it. And it's a pretty decadent dessert, but if you really like that, the first actually alcoholic drink my wife had when we were dating in college was had to start her slow was a grasshopper. If you remember
those drinks.
This is not quite a grasshopper, but when she had it, she said this kind of takes me way back 38 years ago, or 40 years ago, to when we had our first date.
Yeah, when we lived in Chattanooga, I had my favorite drink was called a Velvet Hammer.
Yeah,
and it was like ice cream. Is that what it is?
Yeah, it's ice cream. It's an ice cream drink. Yeah, yeah. So you'll love it. I think it'll be awesome.
I'll just come and have that.
Yeah,
I'm supposed to be on a specific carbs diet, so that'll be my carb for the night.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, no, but you gotta indulge a little bit. Life's too boring if you don't.
No, I agree. Now, just tell me one more funny thing here, because when people come in and they sit down at a table, there's black chairs, but there's one red chair.
Yeah.
Now, why is that? Is that where the bad person has to sit?
Yeah, no, you can decide who the spicy person is in the group sit in the red chair. It was interesting. So the theme of the restaurant is red and black. So we have some red lamps up here, and the logo kind of ties into that as well. And so I came up with an idea, just knowing the restaurant business. The one thing in fine dining restaurants that people always struggle with as wait staff is, what's the pivot chair? So if you ever go in a restaurant, you might notice on the bottom of a chair, so there'll be a little piece of tape or something. Mm-hmm. They're trying to actually create it so that you get the food in the right order as it's being served. And so I said, given that we're, you know, black and red is our theme, why don't we buy 25% of the chairs that are red chairs? and have a red chair at every table, and it actually is kind of fun. It creates a fun atmosphere.
It
actually, ironically, doubles operationally as a way to know what that pivot chair is. And when I did that, Bill Floyd, who is really the person who conceived this,
right.
this, and he'll be here all weekend.
Oh, good.
And you'll be able to meet him. But he looked at that and he said, Greg, I've been in this business my entire life. I'm 68 years old. Nobody's ever thought of an idea like that before. This is brilliant. Because you can't miss, what that pivot chair is for the wait staff. So it wasn't really, that wasn't the intent of it. It was kind of more whimsical, but it actually functions operationally pretty cool too.
Well, that's your whole thing.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So we're going to try and get this right.
Well, you will. I mean, yeah. I've gone through several things with you. We built a house together one time.
Yeah, we did. That was an exercise.
That was an exercise for sure. So once we did that, I knew that you could do anything. That's for sure. And you have. I mean, you turned around businesses and hence the name of your personal company,
Turnworks. Turnworks, yeah.
But it's going to be fun, and I know your family's going to enjoy it. I saw your little granddaughter and your daughter-in-law up here the other day. They're helping, right?
They're helping, yeah. Yeah, the grandkids come up here, and they think they own the place, and they probably do.
Well, they probably do.
Yeah, yeah. So
They could if you would certainly let them.
I tell
them.
My son all the time it was almost worth having you to get to them. If we could have skipped that first step and just gone to the last step, it's really true with grandkids.
It is. Grandkids are the greatest.
They're adorable.
They are the greatest. Well, we're excited to come this weekend, Greg, and thank you for including us in it. So
yeah, it'll be fun. Yeah, and I just got one last kind of warning for people. We're going to ramp this over time, so we're going to make sure the service is good. So we'll start. Get a reservation, please, because we'll start with a fairly limited number in here, and then we'll keep adding to it every day.
Okay.
I don't want to disappoint people from a service perspective. So it'll take probably 3 weeks or so for us to get fully ramped up. Yeah.
And the name of it again, so everybody can hear.
If they can hear over the compressor, Portovino.
Portovino, and it's on East Shore Drive in East Shore. And now, do you have liquor as well as wine, or
we do not. It's just wine. There's some beer, but very little beer is sold. It's really
It's a
wine place.
Well, that's what everybody loves. So we're excited.
Yeah.
Thanks, Greg, for taking the time. As you can see, they're at the last steps of getting ready here. So
there
we will get this out.
There we got a few balloons that rolled in.
Those. So Clara will love those balloons.
Exactly.
And Dean too. Thanks, Greg.
Thanks.
As always, you're a good friend.
Take care.
Thanks for listening to this episode of The Art of Real Estate. Don't forget to follow at Beth Ferrister on Facebook and Instagram, and subscribe to The Art of Real Estate on Apple Podcasts.